In Leviticus chapter 23, there is seven feasts that we're going to look at. Number one, the Passover. Number two, unleavened bread. Number three, the first fruits. Number four, the wave loaves. Number five, the trumpets. Number six, the Day of Atonement. And number seven, the tabernacles. Seven different things. Seven is the number of perfection. It wasn't five, it wasn't six, it wasn't eight, it was seven. God uses seven in His Word, sign of completion. They're on a time scale. Some of them you know. The ones that you know should convince you of the ones that maybe you didn't think of before. You often hear us talking about Jesus Christ is going to come back again someday. And can you know approximately when it's going to happen? Well, I think so. And I want to show you a little bit of that today. So in the book of Leviticus chapter 23, make sure you have a Bible and you look at it. The first three verses is not really about the feast of Jehovah. Jehovah is the Lord God Himself. These are feasts. These feasts are holy days. Holy days is where we get the word holidays. Holidays used to be holy days. There it says in verse 4, these are the feasts of the Lord, even holy convocations, which ye shall proclaim in their seasons. In the 14th day of the first month at even is the Lord's Passover. This was a memorial service. This is a memorial of the day that when Israel was down in Egypt and they were going to bring them out, and he says, I want you to take a lamb and take the blood and put it upon the doorpost and the lintel. He says, I want you to do this so that the firstborn of every home won't die. And he says that death will come through. And when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. So every house that had the blood on the door, he passed over that house. If they didn't apply the blood, then the firstborn would die. And of course, Egypt didn't believe it, and their firstborns died. So they were to do a memorial every year. The first month in Israel was April. It wasn't like ours, January. Theirs is April. And so you have here on April, the 14th, is the Lord's Passover. So they were to celebrate it every year. And they did this from the time they came out of Egypt, when they got into the promised land. Then these feasts were to be in order. And so we know that today that the Passover is the very day on which Jesus Christ was crucified. Jesus Christ died on Passover. And many people today still celebrate the Passover. But I don't celebrate the Passover. I celebrate His resurrection. He came back from the dead. I don't have to look back. But you and I are supposed to believe that when Jesus died on the cross, He paid for your sins. And the blood that was shed from that holy lamb is supposed to be applied to you. So that when God, who has a judgment against all sin, regardless of where sin may be found, His wrath is going to be poured out upon that individual. The Bible says that we are under the wrath of God. But when I see the blood applied to that particular individual, He said, I will pass over that person. Now, the blood that He shed on the cross was enough for everybody in the whole world. But the people who don't believe it won't apply it, and it can only be applied by faith. You must believe that He did it for you, and your belief in His death for your sins is an application of the blood been applied to you. So God will pass over you. So Christ, in the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter 5, He is our Passover lamb. That's why when John the Baptist saw Him, he says, behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. We know that the Passover was on a particular day, a particular month, and it was exactly like God said it would be. And here we are, 2,000 years from the time of the Passover, Christ died, and we're still celebrating that day. So Christ, He died. Look there in verse 6. And on the 15th day of the same month, and lo and behold, here we are. This is April the 15th. And on the 15th day of the same month is the feast of unleavened bread unto the Lord. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. Now remember this. When Christ came into the world, the Bible says that Jesus made the statement, I am the bread of life. He says, you ate bread in the wilderness. He says, and the fathers, he says, they're dead. He said, but I'm the bread that came down from heaven. Leaven speaks of sin. Unleavened bread means no yeast in it. It means that Christ had no sin in him. He is the eternal bread. And he says, if you will eat this bread that came down from heaven, you'll never hunger again. Because that bread satisfies. That bread gives me eternal life. It will last forever. He'll never cast me out and never lose me. Because when Christ went to the cross, he took all the sin upon himself. So he bore our sins on the cross. But when the payment for our sins were made, he came back again from the dead without sin. And now the command is for every one of us to believe on him, to trust him. And God says we will be like unleavened bread. We will be just like him without sin. See, to go to heaven, you have to be without sin. There is no sin in heaven. God has no sin. There's no death in heaven. There's no disease in heaven. There's no sorrow in heaven. And none of those things are in heaven because it's perfect. And to get there, you and I have to be perfect, but we are not perfect. You and I, after we believe on Jesus Christ, are to have a holy walk with the Lord. You and I are supposed to live our life for the one who died for us. And so therefore, God wants you to live, not in sin, but away from sin, to live righteously, because now you're God's child. If you're God's child, you should live like God's child. Verse 9, where the Lord says, I spoke unto Moses, and he said this in verse 10, speak unto the children of Israel, saying to them, when ye be come into the land which I give unto you, shall reap the harvest thereof, then ye shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest. This is the barley harvest. About 7 weeks later would be the wheat harvest. So there is the barley harvest, and then there is the wheat harvest about 7 weeks later. So the Bible tells us this is the first fruits. So of the year when you have reaped a harvest, Jesus Christ came back from the dead, and the Bible says he is the first fruit. This is a sign or a type of Jesus Christ coming back from the dead. Just like the one there, the Passover, was a picture of Jesus Christ on the cross. And if you look in your notes, everything is in order. If you took this whole chapter and you laid it out, it is a prophetic chapter laid out concerning the events in periods of time, even into the future. And they're very, very revealing. You'll notice also in verse 11, and he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you on the morrow after the Sabbath. The day after the Sabbath would be on a Sunday. That's the day we meet together to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It's called the Lord's Day. Isn't that true? We call this day the Lord's Day. It belongs to the Lord. So we come together on the first day of the week, the day after the Saturday. This is what it says right here. You see, even though these things were written, and you're talking about here almost 1,500 years before Christ, you're talking about 3,500 years ago, something being written. And yet, if you don't read it and study it, you won't know what all this refers to. You say, that's just a bunch of old stuff in the Old Testament. I don't care for that, so I'm going to go over here to the book of John. And yet, lo and behold, sitting right here, hidden in these verses, are some tremendous truths. They are specific things, periods of time. It talks about the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, the first fruit, that which comes up out of the earth. That's why the Bible says Jesus Christ, he actually is the resurrection. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 23, he says, Christ first, and then those that are his at his coming. So we know that there's more to it than what meets the eye. These are types of something greater, events in the future. And that's where you and I are. When this was written, all these were events that were future. Look down in verse 15. So now the Christ has died. He's come back from the dead. And the next thing to happen was for the Holy Spirit to come on the day of Pentecost. Pentecost means 50 days. 50 days from the resurrection of Christ. That's an event that took place in the New Testament, in the book of Acts. Look what he says in verse 15. And ye shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that ye brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be complete. 7 Sabbaths, 7 sevens is 49 days. 49 days. But the day after the last Sabbath would make it how many days? 50 days. So you see there in verse 16, even unto the morrow after the seventh Sabbath shall ye number 50 days, and ye shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord. These were holy days, feast days of the children of Israel. And they were to do them every year. They had to do these feasts. Even today, to many of the children of Israel, the Jewish people, they are blinded to the truth of what these scriptures refer to. They do the practice. They don't know what it represents. When Christ came, they don't associate none of this to Christ, and yet all of it is about Him. So the Bible says they have a veil upon their eyes that they cannot see. When it says it was 50 days, 50 days from the resurrection, Christ came back from the dead, ascended into heaven, because He told His disciples or Mary and them that were there, He says, do not touch me, I have not yet ascended unto my Father. So He went to heaven right after His resurrection. And then the Bible says He came back and He met with His disciples in the upper room. And when He met with the disciples, the Bible says the doors were locked, the windows were shut, because the disciples were afraid for their life. And the Bible says He appeared in their midst. And then the Bible says that He appeared unto him 40 days after His passion, showing Himself all these things with many infallible proofs, showing Himself to over 500 at one time. And on the day of Pentecost, the Bible says the Holy Spirit came from heaven to those group of people that were in that upper room, in that room. The Bible says, and they were indwelt by the Holy Spirit, baptized by the Holy Spirit. And the Lord says He gave them the ability to speak in various languages, not unknown tongues. Don't you ever buy that junk. They spoke in various languages that the people that were there understood what they were saying. They were able to speak and people were able to hear. And this was the baptism of the Holy Spirit that came on the day of Pentecost, 50 days. And see, this was written over 1,500 years before all these things happened. But they were a type of it. It was written in advance because God says, you're hard-headed, you're stiff-necked. I'll tell you what's going to happen before it ever takes place. See there in verse 24, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall ye have a Sabbath, a memorial, a blowing of trumpets, and holy convocation. Now, if all these other things happen on the very day, just like it was supposed to, and that was fulfilled accurately, just like it says here in the Old Testament, and Christ died on the very day, in April, on the Passover, the Holy Spirit came 50 days later from the resurrection, just like it says, is it possible that this other can also be fulfilled on the very day, the very month, just like God said it will happen? Now, I'm not saying it will. I'm just saying this is the Word, and you can decide for yourself. But if this is true in verse 24, which is yet future, it says, in the seventh month, which would be October, Jewish calendar, in the first day of the month, shall you have a Sabbath, a memorial for blowing a trumpet. The blowing of trumpets was for two reasons. One, to assemble the children together, and for war. To assemble and for war. Now we know that the tribulation period, where there's a man blowing a trumpet, well, this trumpet to be blown is for, I believe, the second coming of Jesus Christ to the earth. First thing will be a gathering where He gathers us, those that believe, We are taken out of the world and taken to heaven to be with the Lord. That's the rapture. Exactly 7 years later to the day. Because it has to be in October, or based upon what they consider to be their leap days of the leap years, they have so many more days. And so we don't know exactly when that's going to fall. But I do believe it's possible to figure out. And I'm not going to tell you if I was to find out, lest I be wrong, and then you would disregard everything else I ever said. If I was perfect, I'd tell you. But since I'm not, I'm going to let it pass. At both comings, when Christ comes in the air for you and I, doesn't come to the earth, only in the air, and everyone who knows Christ as Savior, the Bible says, at the last trump, the trumpet shall sound, and everybody that is alive at that moment, the Bible says, will be changed in a moment, the twinkling of an eye, and caught up to meet the Lord in the air. We will be gathered to the Lord. Now, the blowing of trumpets has to be, according to the Jewish time, on the 1st of October. And then, 7 years later, Christ comes to the earth. But this time, the blowing of the trumpets is for the gathering of the children of Israel together, because there is the battle of Armageddon. That's war. Here are the second coming of Christ, two phases of the second coming. The rapture in the air, and then the revelation to the earth in power and great glory. Here for all the believers. Here for the nation of Israel. Because this is Israel laws, types. And the Bible says that the tribulation period will be 7 years long. And both deal with the blowing of the trumpet, when the trumpet shall sound. Now, we know the very month, and we know the day. What we do not know is the year. We don't know the year. If all these other things in this chapter were laid out on a time scale, is it possible that this also is laid out on time scale when you get to verse 24 and so forth? Now, in verse 27, deals with the Day of Atonement. This is another one of their feast days, the Day of Atonement. This means, look up here, when Christ comes back in power and great glory as the King of Israel to the earth, and the Mount of Olives is split in two, then the Bible says that Israel, when they see him coming, the Bible says they will look upon him and say, where did you get those wounds? He says, I received those in the house of my friends. That's when he came the first time. He's coming back, and they'll see the wounds in his hands and in his feet. And the Bible says that Israel as a nation will be born in one day, born again. And God says, I will put, according to Jeremiah, I will put my spirit into my people. And Israel will accept Jesus Christ as their Messiah. This is the Day of Atonement. It's the day when they accept the Messiah as their payment, as their atonement for their sins as a nation. And the Bible, not only as a nation, but individually, and they will be born in a day, and Israel will become, in the kingdom, the greatest nation in all the world. Now, that's what's ahead of us. Who would believe? Here's China. Here's America. There's Russia. Would you believe that little old tiny nation over there, no bigger than the side of Rhode Island, with 13 Arab nations all around them, will be the greatest nation on the face of the earth? If that ever happened, that'd be a miracle, wouldn't it? It's a miracle that Israel is even a nation today. That's a miracle. And we're living at the most exciting time, because, you see, Israel will have to be back in the land, because it deals with the sufferings or the sorrow that Israel should show before the Lord, and a time of repentance as a nation about what they've done to the Messiah and how they have deserted God and went astray and whoremongering off all the other gods of the world. And the Lord says one day they're going to come back and they're going to accept Jesus Christ as their Messiah. Now, all these other things happen just right on schedule. Now, when is it possible that this could happen? I have some things that I can show you that I believe that it can come very close to being an October of this year. I can't prove it, and that's my problem. But if there's anybody who believes this book and loves this book and loves prophecy, I do. And there's some things that I wish that God would reveal to me, but that hasn't been done yet. But I don't sit up at night waiting for some special revelation to come. No, it's going to be only through the study of God's Word. Read it and read it and read it and see what he's talking about. Now, the next thing, the last thing I want to share with you is verse 34. Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of the 7th month, October, shall be the Feast of Tabernacles. The Feast of Tabernacles was twofold. It's kind of like our Lord's Supper. The Feast of Tabernacles was similar to the Lord's Supper. You see, that when we take the Lord's Supper, we take and take the bread, and that represents the body of Christ. And the grape juice represents the blood of Christ. And so it doesn't become the body of Christ. It doesn't become the blood of Christ. It's just a symbol. And we look back to the cross, of what he did on the cross for us. And we look forward to his coming again. So we look back to what he did, and we look forward to his coming. Well, the nation of Israel, they came out of Egypt. They lived in the wilderness for 40 years. The Bible says they had tents and little booths they had to live in. All the time been promised that one day they're going to have their own vine, their own fig tree. They're going to have their own place. So whenever they were to have this, they looked back. And this was also called the time where they built booths. And they would live in a booth for so many days. And they looked back to the time where God brought them out of Egypt. And they had to live in little booths. And they look forward to the day that there's going to be a millennium, a kingdom upon this earth where every man can have his own thing, have his own pomegranate trees and his own fig tree and his own vines and his own property, his own stuff. And they look forward to that. Well, there's a kingdom coming. And the Bible says that this Feast of Tabernacles is a time when Christ is going to come back to the earth. And all of this is laid out in order. It's not, you got to figure out, where is it? No, it's all in order. It's all laid out exactly in a period of time. And the next thing to happen, if you look on the top of your notes up there, number one, it's a memorial as to the redemption from Egypt, and two, prophetic to the kingdom rest. So there's a time coming in the future for the 1,000-year reign upon this earth, and it's all told here in the book of Leviticus chapter 20. Now let me make sure you understand this. Though I don't have time to go through and document everything that I'm saying on this stuff, I'm not twisting these scriptures to make it say what I want it to say. This is what it is, and this is what it's a type of. Now, there is a gap from the Pentecost until the blowing of the trumpets, this unknown period of time in there. Oh, I wish I could get my hands on it. But that doesn't annul what went before, and it doesn't annul what's going to happen with the blowing of the trumpets and of the Feast of Tabernacles. But there is this period of time which you and I are living in right now. How long is it going to be? And many Bible scholars believe that it's going to be a period of about 2,000 years. You say, well, it's already been 2,000 years. Not since the crucifixion. From his birth, yes, but not the crucifixion. So you don't count it from his birth. You count it from when he died. Because in the Old Testament, it says that there'll be 483 years from the time that they issued a decree under Artaxerxes to go back and to rebuild the temple until the Messiah would be cut off. So when he was cut off, that's the time limit, not his birth, from his time limit of when he was cut off. And you're talking about additional 34 years. But I got some stuff on that that I think is to blow your mind. But I hope that more than anything else in the world, you see, Jesus Christ can't come back. He can't return if he never left. But he came to the cross, just like he said, and he was buried. He came back from the dead, ascended into heaven. And the Bible says he's coming back to the earth. There is no doubt that these scriptures that we just read are all written 1,500 years before Christ. The Jewish people still have the book of Leviticus. Leviticus, Levi, the servant, the priesthood, the tribe of Levi. The first five books of the Bible, the Torah, the Pentateuch, they have that. And they know that it was theirs. They just don't understand what it represents. But if you take and put Christ in here, you can see everything, and it's clear as a bell. And if all these other things happen just like he said, is it possible the other time is also? And the time period between the Pentecost and the Feast of Trumpets can be known? I think it can. I believe that we're living in the closing days of this dispensation, and that Christ is coming back soon. You see, if all of this is true, and Christ is coming back soon, that's why you, as a child of God, don't play games. Don't be foolish. Don't live in sin. Straighten up and do right. If you're God's child, you serve God. Don't let the devil mess up your life. You're too close. It's too soon. Any moment. Don't be ashamed before him at his coming. If there's things in your life that are not right, confess those things to God. Say, Lord, I've sinned against you. I've been wrong. I confess it, and God will forgive you, and serve the Lord and put him first. Put him first in everything that you do. Pray and seek God's will. Try to win people to the Lord. If the rapture took place, are there people that you'll wish you to talk to but you never talk to? It's so important. Look up here. This hand represents you and me, and this wall represents sin. We all have sin upon us. God loves us, hates our sin, but he loves us. And the Bible says for us to pay for sin is eternal separation from God, a place called hell. But the Lord loves us and wants us to go to heaven. To go to heaven, we have to be perfect, as righteous as God. We got to be without sin. No sin can enter there. But we're not. We're all in the same boat. Nobody in God's eyes is anybody. He says there's no difference. All have sinned. So we need a Savior. God says you can't save yourself. You'll never be good enough. So this hand representing Jesus Christ, he's the Lord. He came into the world because he loves us. He took our sins, and he bore our sins in his own body on the tree. And the Bible says he shed his blood. And so when you and I believe he did it for us, the blood he shed was shed on me. It's like I was on that cross and that blood covered me. And God says, when I see the blood, I will what? Pass over you. You're not condemned. Only those who are not under the blood. If you have not accepted Christ as your Savior, you're lost. You're going to hell. God's judgment rests upon you.